Order, and we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. And I'm going to throw a curveball and ask our city manager to lead us in the pledge this evening.
Curveball it is, with honor. Thank you, sir. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Michael. Naomi, could you call the roll, please?
You're muted, Naomi. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Mayor Holtzclaw?
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Vanell?
Here.
Councilmember Bond? Councilmember Cavallari?
Here.
Councilmember Steckler?
Here.
Councilmember Bryles?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
I believe Councilmember Bond is on vacation. Do we have a motion to excuse?
Motion to excuse.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We'll move into audience communication. Chance to speak to the council. Anyone like to speak to the council? Raise your hand or give me a verbal word. Will, Barbara, Representative Levick, take yourself off mute and name and address, please. Welcome to the meeting tonight.
Good evening, everybody. My name is John Lovick. I live at 2403 157th Place Southeast in Mill Creek. And I just wanted to call in and just say good evening. And I hope you're all doing well. I hope you not only are safe, but that you feel safe. And the main reason I wanted to call in is I was quite impressed with your acting police chief, Chief Phillips, the great work that he did during the what I called a kind of an incident that took place at the town center, Central Market. I kind of watched him on several phone calls, and I was down there from a distance when the, I guess they call themselves the Free Breathers, were in town. And he showed a lot of discipline and a lot of leadership. And that's the only reason I wanted to call in, just to commend him for the great work that he's doing. And I really look forward to working with all of you. I want to also congratulate Mr. Todd. He was always in my office in Olympia on a regular basis. And I know Mr. Steckler has been there. Cavalier has been there. So that's mainly what I wanted to do, is to just congratulate you, commend your acting police chief for the great work he did, because those things could have just gotten completely out of control. Thank you very, very much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have a good meeting.
Thank you, John. Anyone else this evening? When once, twice. With that, we'll move on to our presentations. I'll turn it over to City Manager to kick us off with the State Auditor.
Thank you, Mayor. We have the Sarah Superville, as well as, I apologize, the name was Kirk Gadaboy.
Yep.
Presented at last year's council meeting, their kickoff for the audit this year. In the past, the practice was for the city manager to identify a couple of representatives of council to be interviewed by the auditor's office. Last year, we asked the team to come in and present to council as a body, and to invite each of you, if you'd like to share information or be interviewed by the auditor, to have an opportunity to do so, to enable all members of council direct access for that conversation. I thank you, Kirk and Sarah, for your time and coming here today, this evening rather. And without further ado, if you could give your presentation, that would be greatly appreciated.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for the kind introduction there. My name is Kirk Gadboy, and as mentioned, I'm one of the assistant audit managers for the local audit team for Team Everett for the Washington State Auditor's Office. We're actually based in Mill Creek, just down the street from you there in the town center. So usually not a far, far distance to drive to get to the city hall there. With me today, as Michael mentioned, was our audit lead, Sarah Superville. She's returning this year to lead the Mill Creek audit and do most of the audit work and basically just look in all the city's operations and whatnot. And then at the end of the audit, we'll go ahead and report back to you. So today's meeting is just basically to go over a few things, kind of what we're going to be looking at this year. Before I start, I'm going to try sharing my screen. I don't know if I have that capability, but we will try here. So that way we can share a couple resources with you. Looks like I can. So looks like that's been set up. Great. So yeah, what we'll do is kind of walk through this document really quick, and what I'll do is pass it over to Sarah, and she can kind of talk about what different audits we're going to be looking at this year.
Awesome. Thanks, Kirk. So for this year's audit, it's a little bit different than what we did from last year. Last year's audit encompassed 2 years of a fiscal year period. So last year we did a 2017-2018 audit. But for this year, we're just doing one annual audit. So this audit is covering the period of January 1st through December 31st, 2019. And the audit scope is going to entail two different audits. So the first audit we're going to be conducting is called an accountability audit, where we basically review city policies and procedures and inquire with various staff to understand what those procedures are and ensure that the city has adequate safeguarding of public resources to prevent any potential misappropriation, misuse, or non-compliance with policies and state law and all that. So for this year's audit, we did perform planning procedures based on a risk-based approach, and we are going to evaluate essentially four different areas for this year's accountability audit. So for the first area, we're going to be doing a full-on payroll review, where we do just basically the whole spiel of, you know, everything that is payroll. So we'll be looking at gross wages, benefit deductions, any separation agreements that were entered into, any follow-up on leave balances, accruals, and any cash outs that were made during the audit period. We'll also be taking a peek at various disbursements or purchases that were made by the city. So that could be anything with credit card payments, or anything that we consider maybe something called high risk, which doesn't mean anything, you know, funky with that, but that's more of like potential for personal or, you know, non-public funds or resources being used with that. So we're going to be looking at those kind of payments, as well as electronic fund transfer payments, which basically is a result of statewide risks associated with cybersecurity attacks. So we just want to make sure that the city is having adequate procedures in place to make sure that payments made via EFTs is to intended parties and not fraudsters, essentially. We'll also be looking at something called financial condition. Inherently with the COVID-19 pandemic, that's having fiscal impacts pretty much statewide on a variety of governmental entities. So we just want to see the health of the financials and just where everything is with the city's financial position. And we'll also be looking at just the overall process of contract monitoring. How does the city ensure that various contracts are being followed and that there's procedures in place to make sure that the terms of those contracts are being followed? The next audit we'll also be looking at is called a financial statement audit. So we do this pretty much every year, and we just review the city's financial statements that are submitted to our office on an annual basis and making sure that all the information that is presented on that is accurate. Does anyone have any questions with the specific areas that we're looking at? All right, so just scroll down to the last bit there. So this next bit is called the engagement letter. And basically what it is, it's a letter that highlights the auditor's responsibilities as well as management's responsibilities, and just to make sure that we're all on the same page with, you know, the terms of the audit. So we did provide that early on in the audit, and we did obtain Michael and Mayor Holtzclaw's signatures for those. So thank you so much for that. This next page here is going over the various reporting levels that can come out of any exceptions that come out of the audit. So the highest level of reporting is something called a finding, which is our most significant level of reporting. And so what this is whenever there is an issue that rises to the level of a finding, this does get included in our audit report. And we do request a formal response from city manager and council that basically addresses the finding and what kind of courses of action or corrective action plans the city will take to address this exception. The next level is something called a management letter, which is something that's not significant enough that will rise to a level of a finding, but is significant enough that we present this in a formal letter, which we will present to city manager and council at the end of the audit, and basically highlights the potential exception that we are identifying and discussing any potential course of action with that one. And then the last level is our lowest level reporting, and this is called an exit item. What this is, is just minor housekeeping items that we typically communicate to the management level, as they are very minor and trivial in nature and can be handled in the management level. But of course, we can definitely go over these informally or within the next exit conference if there are any exceptions that do rise to an exit item level. With that, any questions on the level reporting?
All right, so I'll go through this rest of the page here. One of the things with working remotely is we're gonna be requesting a lot of documents and getting a lot of information sent to us. So we've already talked to city staff about how to handle sensitive and confidential information. So, but definitely we wanna let city staff know if we ever request anything that you think is particularly sensitive or you want special handling of, let us know and let us be able to work with that. We can definitely do that. We have the audit cost here, as well as who we expect to communicate with throughout the course of the audit. Sarah just informed me that the city actually just hired a new finance director. I believe first day was yesterday. So now that she has 2 days under her belt, I think we'll direct all questions to her now and be able to switch over. No, we'll work with everyone, the staff, obviously, and work with the transition there. We do have an audit dispute process as well. So if you ever feel that Sarah's not listening to you, or I'm not listening to you, or any questions or concerns you might have, by all means, Christina Baylor is the team's audit manager. Feel free to reach out to her, or Tina Watkins, our assistant director in Olympia. They're always willing to talk to any of our clients at any time. They're happy to talk to you. We also have a loss reporting program as well. Just a quick reminder that if you ever suspect any kind of loss that happened at the city, like any kind of loss or misappropriation, theft, anything like that, let our office know about it immediately. Not that we want to, start up some big investigation or do anything like that, but just because we want to start getting involved in the city's like investigative work, just because we know that it might not be something that's in your wheelhouse to do investigative things like this. So we just definitely want to, be that resource for you, just to make sure that we're involved. And then last year, I talked about this as well, the peer reviews of the Washington State Auditor's Office. Frequent question we get is, who audits the auditors? And so the answer to that is right here. We do have peer reviews done of our office every other year. And we're pleased to announce that the last peer review we got last year, we got the highest rating yet, which was a pass. So, that, again, as I mentioned last year, just reaffirms that our industry is terrible at positive feedback. So I was pleased last year to be able to compliment some of the city of Mill Creek staff. And I'm sure we'll be able to do that this year at the Exit Conference as well. We always have a good working relationship with everyone we work with at the city there. I included a couple emerging issues. We'll go over those in just a couple minutes here. But first, a couple other resources we have for City of Mill Creek as well. A lot of people know about our audit services. Obviously, when Sarah and I come on site and look at the city's finances and how the city's doing its operations. But our office actually has two other divisions as well that are a little less known. We have the local government support team, and they're completely designed just to assist local governments with financial reporting. So if you ever have, tricky transactions or some weird funding source, you don't exactly know how to code it or whatever, definitely reach out to us, and our team can help out with, those financial reporting questions at any time. Additionally, we have the Center for Government Innovation, and they're all about helping governments work better and more efficiently, as well as providing resources as well to governments. If field auditors like Sarah and myself, if we're out there and we're finding that, entity after entity we're always reporting the same issues about bid compliance or something like that. The center would look at that, and they'll provide resources like handouts and flyers of like how-tos. So basically how to improve operations. And I'll highlight a couple of those just in a few minutes here. We also listed a little bio of all the people who are going to be involved in this audit. You should have got this emailed out to you. If you didn't, let us know. We can email it out to you. But this is just some information about who's going to be involved in the audit of the city here. All right, this next document I wanted to go over is the audit connection. This document is emailed out about quarterly if you're subscribed to it from our office. And I'd highly recommend it. It just gives really good advice and guidance on different things that we're seeing that's out there at any given time. So one of the biggest things right now that we wanted to write an article about was CARES Act funds. A lot of governments are getting these funds, and we've been getting a lot of phone calls about, okay, what can we spend this money on? What can we do? You know, that type of thing. Can we do this? Can we start this new program? Can we support these people? Our office, from the very beginning of this pandemic, our big thing is we're a post-audit agency. So we can't give guidance on, yes, you can do this or no, you can't. What we want you to do is actually contact your legal counsel. If you're going to start up a new program, if you're going to spend funds and, you know, start up this new thing, talk to your legal counsel, get that legal opinion, and, you know, then document that thought process, document the decision-making process about how you came to the conclusion that, you know, this new program is an allowable use of funds or whatnot. And another big thing that we've actually noticed throughout this pandemic is not only documenting all your decisions, but if you're getting guidance from someone, like I say, the federal government gives you funds and you're getting guidance you can use these funds for certain things, print out that guidance and save that guidance. Because what we're seeing is there's some changes going on right now where, revisions to guidance or updates to guidance. And we really don't want to be in a situation where, you know, you got the okay to do something and then a few months later, you know, oops, we changed our mind or something like that. So print that guidance and save it. So a couple other little resources I've mentioned before, the center and all their resources they have available to governments. This is just announcing the new bidding and buying guides that are available on our internet site. So we realize that governments, you don't always all the time go out and do these formal bid processes. So a lot of times we're giving recommendations that governments were not complying with state bid laws. So the center came out with its bidding and buying guide of, you know, here's how to comply with all the different state laws and whatnot. You know, when you're making those bigger purchases. A couple other articles that were very interesting was the bank account fraud. Sarah mentioned this earlier, but we've just been seeing so many frauds happening where fraudsters are faking emails and sending them out to city staff saying, you know, oh, I'm such and such an employee and I've updated my bank account. Can you please update my payroll information to this new, you know, credit union or whatever? And payday comes around, money gets transferred, and money's now gone. Nobody has it. So definitely worth something we're looking into at all of our governments, but this is just a good article and a reminder for all staff out there. A lot of other good information in here, but one of the things I wanted to highlight was a couple changes in our office. We have two long-term employees who have retired here. One retired and another one of our managers left SAO here a couple months ago. The reason why I'm pointing this out, Sarah Walker, she was our fraud investigations manager. She's been with our office for a really long time and she left here. And so our office needed to fill that role. And so I guess they decided that they needed another Sarah in that role. And actually Sarah Superville, your lead auditor, is actually gonna leave our local audit team and start working with team fraud full time. So this is gonna be her last audit as a field auditor after 5 years and moving on to that statewide role. So yeah, this is her last one here. So I just wanted to point that out. The last document that I wanted to go over just really quickly, and then I'll kind of wrap up here, is there's our annual report. A lot of people maybe want to know what we've been up to. We've been talking about the city a lot, but maybe you want to know a little more about who is this auditor's office and what do you guys do and how much do you do? This is our 2019 annual report. So it just kind of talks about the audits that we performed in 2019. Almost 2,800 audits. Basically, we audit all governments in Washington. Almost 2,800 audit reports were issued last year. And so we have our accountability audits, federal audits, and financial audits that we list here. That wasn't enough, more audits. We also issued reports on unauditable governments. So those governments who just decided that they don't want to share financial information with people. We don't think that's okay. So we issued reports on those. Fraud investigations, whistleblower investigations, other engagements like CPA reviews and National Transit Database reviews. A lot of different audits we did. And then more audits, performance audits. You might see those on TV. Those are, you know, how are governments working efficiently and effectively, as well as cybersecurity audits to help make sure that, you know, there's no IT vulnerabilities that are going on that could cripple governments in Washington state here. We also provided lots of trainings and different webinars, 160 events, 7,400 attendees received guidance and trainings from our office here in 2019, as well as, again, all these different resources that we've been publishing as well. We have some performance audit highlights. You might have seen these on the news. I know they've been getting lots of attention, you know, especially like the school nutrition one. That received a lot of media attention here this last year. And we also had some fraud reports as well. We only highlight these just because we want governments to look at these frauds and how they happened and then apply it to your government and make sure this doesn't happen at your government. Because the last phone call I want to receive, and unfortunately I've received them before, but I've received phone calls and I hate it, but it's, you know, when people call and say, we have this employee and we think they're stealing money from us, what do we do? And that's a terrible phone call to have. So just make sure, you know, that you have those internal controls to make sure this doesn't happen in your government. And then also we have our budget as well. Where does our money come from? Where does it go? Has just different information here. Most of our money goes towards salaries and benefits of our employees. And then obviously it comes in from the billings we do from our local governments. And then lastly, where we work here as well. So that's about us and also about what we're doing for the city of Mill Creek this year. I know I spoke for a long time there. Does anyone have any questions about our office or what we're up to?
I can't see the entire screen, so I'm not hearing any from council. Anything? I can see the Hollywood Squares. Well, hearing none, thank you, Kirk. Congratulations, Sarah. We look forward to getting through this process yet again. So until next time, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And we'll look forward to seeing everyone at the exit conference. Have a good evening.
Have a good evening. You too.
Bye.
We will now move on to the new business for the evening. It looks like our city manager has four or five items for us. So I'll turn it over to, well, actually, before the city manager, I'm going to turn over the mayor pro tem to make the recommendation on the appointments to the Planning Commission.
Thank you, Mayor. Tonight, the mayor, myself, and Councilmember Morgan interviewed quite a few outstanding candidates to be added to the Planning Commission for the three terms that are up. And as always, it's so hard to pick between everyone, and just want to thank everyone who came out and actually submitted for this position, is willing to step up, and we really appreciate you and thank you. With that, I would like to make a motion to appoint Stan Eisner and David Hambleton to serve a three-year term on the Planning Commission, which expires on April 30th, 2023. And we would like to appoint Jose Barunda to fill the midterm vacancy that expires, I forgot to write it down. When does that one?
2022.
In 2022.
Is there a second?
I will second it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? Motion carries 6-0. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. And now I will turn it over to the city manager for his items of new business this evening.
Thank you, Mayor and members of council. The first item up is really to ask council's consideration of supplementing the record of our 21-22 biennial budget approved by city council to reflect what we intend to be the replacement of the chief of staff position with a deputy city manager position. The deputy city manager position will assume many of the duties of the chief of staff position, but we are also looking to amend as it's stated in the attachment, and I wanna apologize now that it did not make it to the ordinance, but the new title is intended to be deputy city manager and internal auditor. There's actually in speaking with the auditor's office, a lot of the questions that they ask is part of how we perform our functions in-house. These internal auditor positions and functions are typically relegated to the finance director, and the better practice is for there to be a redundancy where someone other than the finance director performs the internal auditor function. With the opportunity that may possibly present to the city of Mill Creek, I want to post for the position, if I get the council's blessing this evening, to adopt this ordinance that supplements the budget, that's more explicit in terms of the change that I would ask council to consider. It's absolutely revenue neutral and expense neutral. It's within the budget that council has provided us. And the intention is that we would have an opportunity then to have an in-house deputy, in-house internal auditor that is also a deputy city manager. As I mentioned, God forbid something happens to me in my health or for any other reason I'm otherwise rendered incapacitated, the deputy city manager would assume those roles and those functions and could provide an institutionalized redundancy for this position. Paying attention to the city of Mill Creek's most recent history, nobody likes to think they're replaceable, but I think the more humble approach is to understand that we're all here and we serve at the pleasure of the council. If the good Lord takes me away, there's got to be a plan for continuity. What I like about the internal audit function also being added to the position is that it enables us to have an auditor internally that not only ensures compliance with state law and best accounting practices, but also ensures that our internal administrative codes, our procurement codes, and all the other rules and manuals and processes and procedures that we've codified to various extent is performed as part of an intentional act on a part of one individual in this institution. If one thing that we have learned is that the city is out of compliance and we've reported these to council as we've discovered them as recently as last week, and we'll be presenting on it in a future council meeting, just the way public records are addressed within the city shows that there's room for us to have greater compliance with our administrative code. In addition, this person would perform risk assessments at our citywide level for fraud, loss, and misstated financial reports. The individual would be implementing processes to monitor whether internal controls are effective, ensuring compliance, as I mentioned, with laws, regulations, grants, contracts since our last audit, and identifies any business risk that might significantly affect operations or financial conditions. Many of the questions that were part of my city manager interview with the auditor's office address these very things. In sharing my intention to come to council this evening to supplement our budget with the explicit permission to amend and replace the current chief of staff position with deputy city manager and an internal auditor, they were very pleased that an institution of our size would be diligent enough and far-seeing enough to consider such an internal function. The candidate would need to obviously have a background in finance generally, as well as specifically the finances of the city, and has a sufficient background to be able to assume the deputy city manager role. I'll be introducing our new city finance director later this evening, as well as a reintroduction of our police chief Young, who both began serving on Monday later on. But it is my intention to advertise for this position internally, as well as anything else that's required under our administrative codes, and possibly offer it. My hope is that someone internal may apply for that position. And while I owe it to the city and its residents and the council to accept any offers or interest in the position, my goal is to have someone that can do this job and hit it out of the park on behalf of the city. So in an effort at full transparency, it is my hope that we will get internal applicants that will apply for the position. And I will consider all other applications as well to ensure that we get the very best person. But if there's one internal applicant in particular that if they apply, they're gonna be the candidate to be, just to be perfectly transparent. I do not want to advertise or post for that position, though, until I get council's blessing this evening. And if it is the pleasure of council to adopt this ordinance, I do have to apologize that what was a part of the addendum did not make it to neither my agenda summary nor the ordinance. And that is that what I will be requesting is that council adopt this ordinance, replacing a chief of staff position with the deputy city manager position. But what I would add to that is deputy city manager and internal auditor. That would be the new title of that position. Thank you.
Any questions from the council? Councilmember Morgan, and then Councilmember Cavallari.
Oh, thank you, Michael. So essentially, if I'm understanding this correct, the new position is a consolidation and addition of other responsibilities compared to the previous chief of staff position, but received the same general salary?
That is correct, as well as additional qualifications in the finance area as well.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Councilmember Cavallari, did you have your hand up?
I did. Thank you, Mayor. I think I'm certainly going to support this, and I'll be happy to make the motion in a moment. I think we discussed this as a council that I think there were some things that we wanted out of this position, and it seems that Michael has addressed them sooner rather than later. So I certainly appreciate that we're doing this and replacing that spot. So, I mean, I would make a motion to approve ordinance 2020-668 to reflect the replacement of the chief of staff position with the deputy city manager position. And I make that motion knowing fully that this is budget neutral as well. Thank you.
So, Robert Cavallari, this is Grant Dickinger. Could you make it, could you amend your motion to make it ordinance 2020-669 though?
No, well, that was one of the comments. I think it's 869. I think
869, correct.
I think the agenda is incorrect because yeah. I believe the
it should be 669.
No, I believe I went back and looked at last week's agenda. I believe we adopted the budget under ordinance 2020-868. Because the next ordinance up is 869. So I think the agenda is incorrect. I think the ordinance number is correct, but we need to verify that.
So do we want to hold off on making the motion?
Oh my God.
I think you can make the motion, the substance of the motion, subject to the staff assigning it the appropriate number.
Okay, thank you. So I guess, what would that sound like? I continue that same motion subject to the
I think correct. Your motion was correct. It was just the reference, I believe the correct reference number is 869 because last week it said the next ordinance number was 868 and we then adopted the budget under ordinance 868. So I think 869 is the correct number. I think what is incorrect is the agenda.
I have 869.
That's correct. So there's a typo. It is ordinance 869.
Yeah. So in item E in the agenda, it should reflect that we approve the budget pursuant to ordinance 2020-868, not 668.
And also to amend deputy city manager / internal audit officer.
Correct.
So, all right. Then just to make it neater and cleaner, I'll just make a motion to approve ordinance 2020-869 to reflect the replacement of the chief of staff position with the deputy city manager and internal auditor position. And as I said before, as stated, the position is budget neutral. Thank you.
And do we need to add the and to include the schedule of do we need to add that part in there about including the schedule of salaries?
You do.
In the motion? Sorry.
Is that part of your motion, Councilmember Cavallari?
Yes, I didn't think it was necessary, but okay.
So it's the motion, ordinance 869 as presented together with the appendix, the salary schedule that was attached to the meeting materials.
Thank you, Mayor. And Mayor Pro Tem, thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem, were you seconding that motion?
Yes.
City Attorney, do we have the motion correctly stated?
We do. Thank you, Mayor.
Councilmember Morgan, did you have a comment?
No, not at all.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? Motion carries 6-0. Michael, on to item F.
Thank you, Mayor, and I apologize for that typo and the inconvenience it caused. We have Director Mike Todd that's presenting on the addendum with Pertit. Since Mike Todd has come on board, I can't speak highly enough for the ways in which he has worked to bring the city up to speed. One of them, and something that we had talked about, is our compliance issue as it relates to our contracts. The contract with Pertit, it continued for a number of years, well north of my $50,000 spending authority before I even started here, and continued. And we basically are here to own up to that mistake, the oversight, and we need council's authority to permit what in essence we've already paid on. And I don't know if it's technically a ratification or otherwise, but I'd like to turn the floor over to Mike Todd, and then if Grant has some thoughts, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm checking, can people see my screen there?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Good, so tonight we're gonna talk about both, one presentation for agenda items F and G, but it's two separate actions tonight. So we're gonna talk about, as Michael said, we've got some issues we're cleaning up around here, and hopefully we're gonna get these all cleaned up, but this is the big one right now, professional service contract for on-call engineering. Get it to go forward, there we go. So this was an on-call contract with Pertit that was started back administratively in 2017 with the city manager at that time, and it was authority up to her limit, 49999. And it made a lot of sense at the time. We needed just a little bit of background, a little bit of backup help, but we have spent $145,000 on that, and you can see it's been 4 years since then. So we are here tonight to get proper authorization in place, to be properly paying them for the work they've been done. We have been paying them along the way, but it's been an out of compliance item. And we're also talking about and committing to doing a better job of making a better system moving forward. And this is an example of how we as staff do not have the capacity to do everything for everybody all the time. So we access specialists, we get help with peak loads, we backfill for vacancies, and that's how this came to be back in 2017. That agreement was started, it was 2017-1389. It was entirely supposed to be a backup resource. At that time, city engineer was Scott Smith. He moved on, our stormwater tech moved on. And so they put this contract in place. And that year, indeed, appropriately, used about $27,000 for both stormwater and private development support that would have been done by those people who had moved on. 2018, we continued to use that agreement. The internal staff focus started ramping up on some big public works projects. Most notably, think about the 35th Avenue Bridge project. That was huge, a lot of energy. And so most of the internal staff went towards that public works project. We used the contractor increasingly for nearly 100% of our private development workload, backfilling staff shortages and peak load. Remember what happened in 2018? That was the farm starting to come on board. So as those plans came in, we needed to review those plans, make sure they were up to snuff. And so that year we spent about $60,000, most of it on private development support. Nobody noticed that they'd gone over the limit. 2019 continued to use it. They figured out they had to administratively extend that, so they did, and that was allowable under the contract to administratively add another year. Pertit had an opportunity to change the rates. They did not. In the original contract, there was a provision for up to 5% per year. They did not, so we continued to get the same 2017 prices. Continued internal staff focus on public works projects. Now we had Exploration Park and the bridge and a bunch of other stuff going on. So the contractor was used for about $27,000 for the private development and a small amount for public works support, again, backfilling shortages and peak workload. Come to 2020, again, extended it administratively for another year. This time Pertit says, please give us our 5% increase that was promised in there. So we did that. But other than that, it was not changed. And again, we're way over the limit. And it was used for both private development review and public works support. By 2020, you'll remember, we started using Gray and Osborne for more of our project support. And so this number for public works support has now fallen some, but there's still some private development review, and mostly to the tune of about $25,000 year to date few more bills to pay this year. They continue to work to backfill our vacancies. So the proposal, Tom Rogers and I and Jeff Ballantyne and city manager, we all talked about this, and we think the cleanest way to fix this up and get us the right support we need moving forward is to do a two-step process. So for 2021, well, to finish 2020 and to do 2021, we would like to have you amend the contract, the existing contract for on-call engineering services, to make the amount cover the past expenses, $145,000. Give us a little bit of room to finish up some existing projects, some prior projects, and continue using your expertise on certain elements up to $200,000 through the end of 2021. So extending it for 1 year, giving us up to $50,000 more. I don't think we will use that, but we would like to be get this done and be done with it. So that's the suggestion there. That would be the action under item F. Under item G on your contract, we're starting a new contract to bifurcate what we're doing for private development services is different from the public works support and software and the stormwater support. This contract would be $75 maximum. That's most we've ever spent in a year. I don't think we'll spend that much because we don't have a farm project going on. But again, make sure we don't have to come back to you partway through the year. Again, a one-year contract, use this as a way to use this exclusively for development services support. And notice that these are typically the kinds of things that are paid back 100% by our developer fees. So remember, for public works work, this is on our nickel. It's supporting our projects, either the engineering design or construction management or subsequent review kinds of things. That's what we spend on-call engineering services for in public works. On the development services side, this gets added to the fee the developer pays. They pay to have their building plans reviewed. They pay for those inspections. And so most of this money on the second contract will be recovered through developer fees, kind of hidden underneath the fees on one part of our budget and the expenses on the other. But that is, think about that one more of the net zero. So our recommendation is to have two contracts. It's going to give us a better way to manage and track those. Grant has helped us add some words explicitly into the agreement to get the contractor to help us as well. Jeff has talked about a new system, and it's going to be great for 2021, a new accounting system that's going to help us track this better. But we're also asking the vendor to do that. So every time they submit an invoice against a task order on these contracts, we want to know how much they've spent so far and how much is left. That's a reasonable thing for them to do. They have not done that in the past, but they are fully agreeing at Pertit to do this for us. And so we've added that in both the amendment and in the new contract. As we hire new engineering staff, many of these functions are going to be absorbed by staff. I don't know yet who we will hire, what kind of talent we can get, but I think we're going to try to go back to where we were at 2017, where a lot of these things were performed internally, and we'll kind of phase this down. So that's the 1 year time frame on these. Again, we're going to try to use them for backfill and peak loads. And again, remember, these are tools in our toolbox. These kind of these backup contracts are things we'll use for both public works projects and private development. We don't use them if we don't need them. So this, don't figure this is all money we've spent. This is all within budget. It will be controlled by the budget in terms of money we spend, but this gives us a contract with Pertit. We have similar contracts with Grant Osborne for these kinds of engineering support projects. So I think I've got one more slide. Proposed action tonight is two for item F. It would be adopting a resolution authorizing the city manager to execute an addendum to 2017-1379, which cleans up the past bills and makes us available for public works support for 2021. And the second item under agenda item G would be adopting a resolution authorizing the city manager to execute a new contract for development services support. That I will open it for questions and I will unshare my screen.
Mike, I've got two questions. With this new accounting system, would it be possible to include in the vouchers when there's a payment under one of these not to exceed contracts, just the slip sheet that shows with this payment, we are now at X amount with a cap of Y?
Yes, we will do that whether it's manual or automatic. I believe under the new, Access new BIAS, the new BIAS software that Jeff was talking about us adopting. I think that would be a lot easier than it is under the Springbrook software right now. If we can't, we can keep a separate spreadsheet and do that, because I'm 100% on board with where you're going. This is something we need to keep better track of.
Yeah.
One way or the other. I think having Pertit tell us on each of their invoices, they spent $7,000 on this invoice, $12,000 total for the year, total of $75,000. I think that'll help us, but I agree that we will provide an extra sheet that says what's going on for all the contracts.
Yeah, I think that'd be helpful. And the second question, this follows up on the exchange of emails we had yesterday. The current contract covers both the public works projects that are not reimbursed by the developers, as well as the project services for developments that are reimbursed. Would it make sense if we, when we get to taking action, to take action on the second contract first for the professional services, and then for the amendment to the current contract to limit that contract, to increase the amount as requested, but specify that going forward, it is limited to public works projects only, so we can keep those segregated?
I would be agreeable to managing it that way. I think we chose to not amend the initial contract because the complexity of getting into that addendum just made it more complicated, but okay. I'm 100% on board with that. And if you'd like to do it in that order, it would work fine.
But the intent is with the first ordinance is that even though it covers both going forward, the intent of staff is that that current contract would only be used for the public works projects, assuming we adopt the second ordinance.
Exactly. Yeah. Split those up in 2021. We got to finish 2020 bills that are still kind of mixed together.
Okay.
But two different contracts in 2021.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll defer to Grant. Maybe there's a better way to do that, but I think it's changing that other contract was a little bit difficult, but the intent is proper.
Since we're only adding it as an addendum, you know, we wanted to stay true to what the scope of work was on that.
Okay.
But I think the mayor's point is a good one. Going forward, I think we can certainly do that.
Yeah.
Councilmember Steckler.
Director Todd, so I remember we had this discussion, but I want to make sure that I'm clear. The what happened was we had this contract with this service, and they provided the services for us, but they just neglected to invoice us, correct?
No, they've been invoicing us all along, and we've been paying them all along. It's just when you look to see where's the contract that authorizes us to pay those invoices, you crack it open, it says the limit was $49,999. No one noticed that for a couple of years.
So as you've been going through these contracts, as the years go by, these fees have been each year less than the 49, but they add up to higher than the 49. So you're just trying to add in a clause in here that that will alleviate the fact that we'll be out of compliance, correct? We're not paying a bill for $145,000. We're just amending to make sure that nobody can say we're out of compliance, because ultimately we paid them $145 over 5 years when the contract called for $45. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I clearly understood that. Thank you.
Yeah. And I'll just expand on that. I think philosophically, the idea of the city manager having $50,000 signature authority for small little things makes a lot of sense. So when they started in 2017 and said, gosh, Scott Smith is leaving, how do we patch up until we get him replaced? It was a prudent thing to do. But this idea of a $50,000 contract going for many, many years is, I think, in the sense of transparency, both the city manager and I feel like we shouldn't be doing that. We should be coming to you and saying, we need to get this kind of support for this project or for this need, and we shouldn't have these things flying under the radar. I didn't say that very well, but city manager, help me out with that.
No, it's simply being accountable and transparent, ensuring that we continue to reflect the will of city council. Another way to put it.
Yeah, no, that's correct, Mike. As long as we keep track of what the contracts say, so you're coming back to us. That's the challenge. But we need to get a handle on this, because as we heard at the beginning of the meeting, contract monitoring is one of the issues that the auditors are going to be looking at.
Yeah. Yes. Mayor, I can tell you that in interviewing with the auditor's office, we've pointed this out to the auditors.
Yeah, and just so everyone understands that even if we take some actions early in the year to address this so we have better tracking of these types of contracts, that would not affect the audit results for what the auditors are looking at now, because those policies and procedures were not in place at that time. So, Councilmember Cavallari.
Thanks, Mayor. My question is for the city manager. So is this the kind of stuff that the redirection or that new assistant city manager position, is it the internal auditing piece? Is this what this is specifically geared for?
Yeah, what it is it's geared for a redundancy that will occur and originate at the director level. And it is, absolutely.
So he's going to have he or she is going to have the oversight then?
That's correct. And ultimately, I don't shirk the ultimate responsibility that the buck stops on my desk. I share it as well. And at the risk of continuing to be accused of micromanaging, we continue to randomly look at various things around here and discover compliance issues. I'm just elated that Director Todd is on board and is taking charge of these matters for his department.
Thank you. So I guess if there's no further discussion on that basis, I would make a motion to extend. No, I guess I would make the motion to amend contract services agreement between Pertit 2017-1379 as stated.
This is where someone seconds the
motion. Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? Motion carries 6-0. Any further motions?
So I guess I'm going to be the motion guy. Is this 2020-595, the resolution? Or did I skip ahead?
No, that's correct. 595. Well, yep. So we're going on to the next one, which will be a resolution 596.
Item G on the agenda.
Thank you, Naomi. So, all right, I will make that motion. That resolution is motion to approve resolution number 2020-595, a resolution authorizing execution of addendum extending by 1 year the term of contract 2017-1379 with Pertit Inc. and increasing the maximum contract amount.
Second.
Did I miss that we took those in reverse order?
I think we're a little mixed up.
Yeah, Naomi, wasn't our first motion to approve item F, resolution 595?
That's correct. And Council Member Cavallari, you already did resolution 2020-595.
Yeah, we approved item F, which is resolution 595, extending the contract by a year.
And exactly.
So the second motion is item G, resolution 596, which is the professional services contract with Pertit. I don't remember the cap on that. That's limited to the professional services for development project.
Cap is 75,000.
Correct. So there's a motion to approve resolution 596 as presented.
Yes, sir. So moved.
Seconded.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? Motion carries 6-0. Item H, city manager.
Yep, thank you, Mayor. Before I discuss this, I wanna just point out who's present from the police department this evening. Not only do we have our former acting chief, Robert Phillips, in attendance, but we also have our new police chief, Jeff Young, also at the table. Chief Jeff Young was sworn in at 0600 hours Monday morning as the shift that was coming off of their duty was relieved by a new shift coming on. I had the honor and privilege of administering the oath of office to Chief Young, and I presented him with the police chief badge. He understands what a responsibility and privilege this is. He has sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States, the state of Washington, and to faithfully and impartially enforce and defend the ordinances and laws of the city of Mill Creek. It was a very moving, very short ceremony with all of the police department in attendance. I cannot thank Acting Chief Phillips, not only for the work he performed during his short tenure as police chief, but continues to perform in ensuring a smooth transition this week with Chief Jeff Young. I have worked in law enforcement my entire career. It's probably the department that I can speak the most about with an expert level of knowledge. This is a first-rate acting chief for the department, and I believe that Sergeant Phillips' career is a very bright one in the city of Mill Creek. Chief Jeff Young went through a very rigorous process, and this is his first official council meeting serving in his new role as police chief. Having said that, what I'm asking council for this evening is authorization to sign an interlocal agreement between the city of Mill Creek and the Snohomish Regional Drug and Gang Task Force for drug and gang violence investigative support. I've asked both Sergeant Phillips and Chief Young to co-present this evening on this matter. So gentlemen, if you please take it away.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm glad I'm wearing a mask. Otherwise, you'd see me blushing for all those nice things you said. Thank you very much. So for council consideration is the interlocal agreement. This is an annual renewal for the Narcotics, Drug, and Gang Task Force, which is a multi-jurisdictional task force. It's comprised of officers and deputies from the region. It serves as a support to this organization and this city for cases that require special equipment. Investigative techniques that are otherwise very personnel heavy and frees us up to be available for emergency response, all while having a thorough and comprehensive investigation that's defensible in a court of law. The biggest change with this, again, this is an annual update or an annual renewal. The biggest change to this particular interlocal agreement is the change in the billing cycle and the way that they're identifying our contribution to being a participating organization here, in that they changed the model to represent something that's more akin to other regional programs where we contribute a percentage based on our population. That said, our contribution for this, for the term of this interlocal agreement is $3,979, which represents a 29% decrease from the cost of last year, which was $5,576. That said, the quality of work won't be decreasing, just the cost of the citizens. And given the value of regional programs, I think this is an excellent opportunity to take advantage of some cost savings and provide the citizens and the police with valuable resources for investigation.
Councilmember Cavalieri.
Thank you, Mayor. If the chief is done presenting, I just have a couple of comments real quick. I'm fully supporting, as I usually do, our interlocal agreements with Sheriff's Office. I think having watched the incident, many of us in this community last week with the drive-by shooting and the ensuing chase that took place, we sometimes forget how seamless and how these agencies just flow together, but it's through these interlocal agreements and this team approach that we take, it expands an agency our size to almost seem like an octopus with a lot more tentacles. but our service of our level of service is top notch in that regard, simply because of these interlocal agreements. So I fully support it. I don't know if everybody's reviewed it, but the numbers of drugs seized by the task force, and we'll be hearing again soon about the auto task force when we vote to approve that agreement as well. These agreements are the, you know, one of the cornerstones to our a successful agency, especially in a community our size. It expands our size and our reach to really put public safety to the forefront. Thank you.
And thank you for those comments. For what it's worth, in the past when staffing has allowed, it also affords the officers from Mill Creek Police Department to have a more dramatic and direct impact. Regionally speaking, we've had an opportunity to also staff the Narcotics and Gang Drug Task Force by giving our officers 30-day appointments to the team and allow them to also serve the greater regional community as well. So there's a certain degree of career development that is a byproduct of these exact types of interlocal agreements. And Councilman Cavallari is 100% correct, and it affords us the opportunity to provide an excellent level of service and community safety that otherwise an organization of our size would not be capable of doing.
And I also wanted to welcome you aboard, Chief Young.
Thanks, sir. It's great to be here. And if I may, for just one second, I'd like to echo City Manager's comments about Acting Chief Phillips. He's done a great job. The last couple of days, he's been very busy, but he has done an excellent job of making this an extremely smooth transition. He's a great field training officer. So I just want to thank him for his time and efforts.
I'm blushing again.
Any further discussion? This is the time when we entertain motions then.
If there's no further discussion, Mayor, I'll happily make a motion to approve 2020-597, a resolution authorizing the city manager to execute the Snohomish County Regional Drug and Gang Task Force interlocal agreement.
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed, please say nay. Did anyone abstain? Motion carries. Michael, before we jump on to the next item, I forgot when we did the Planning Commission appointments to request that Naomi notify the folks of the results. I see that Jose Burunda joined us, if we can officially let him know that he's being welcomed onto the Planning Commission so he doesn't wait on this call for another hour trying to find out what happened. Congratulations, Jose.
Thank you.
With that, we'll move on to item I.
Thank you, Mayor. The current collective bargaining agreement with the Mill Creek Police Officers Guild will expire December 31st. We've worked really hard to develop an agreement that is intended as a placeholder. There are a number of items on the Guild's agenda and ours that would require more extensive negotiations. We wanted to not only afford Chief Young an opportunity to get involved in the operations of the department before obtaining his thoughts and expertise regarding the agreement, but the COVID-19 pandemic has created significant economic uncertainty for the city, and the impacts of the limitations on meetings have also affected our ability to sit down around the table to negotiate more comprehensively. What we are asking council for is to authorize a one-year extension of this collective bargaining agreement on its current terms, no changes in terms other than including a 2% wage increase for the next year, effective January 1st, 2021.
Mayor Pro Tem?
Can I go ahead and make the motion? Motion, move to approve resolution number 2020-598, authorizing the city manager to execute a one-year extension of the collective bargaining agreement with the Mill Creek Police Officers Guild for the period of January 1st, 2021 to December 31st, 2021, which includes a 2% wage increase effective January 1st, 2021.
Second.
Any discussion?
I have a couple of quick words, Mayor.
Councilmember Cavalieri.
I'm also, of course, I second it. I'm going to support this. I think this is a great, again, great collaboration of the city manager, the guild, and all the employees involved. I think the agreement is more than fair on both sides, and it allows our new police chief and it allows, you know, our new team that the city manager is assembling to kind of, I guess, catch their breath a little bit here too. So kudos to the police guild for understanding and all the dynamics at play here. And I'm thankful for them for that. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? Motion carries 6-0. I believe that concludes our new business for the night. And now we are moving on to the proposed new initiatives, the legislative agenda for 2021. I'm not sure if this is city manager or Grant or both.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll get us started. As you can see, our planning calendar is, while it's currently empty for the next year, we are working behind the scenes to provide an opportunity for not only the new department heads to get caught up, but to be able to give us a sense of the roadmap, at least through the first quarter of next year, to the best of our ability. What we want to make certain of is that in doing that, we remember, you know, who we work for, and it's the city council. If there are items that are something that you would like us to look into, I know that our current protocol is under these proposed new initiatives. And we want to thank you for this because it gives us clarity that when four of you say that we need to move forward on something, it enables us to allocate our resources in a way that understands that this is important to the council. Although the planning calendar looks presently empty, it's not. And we can assure you that whether it's from the retreat or other initiatives going forward, that we are really looking forward to communicating in a different way and hearing through this proposed new initiative section of the agenda, what's on the council's mind. And whenever four of you say it's a go, then we will work on it. We will also work to be more explicit about how it might impact resources to do other jobs and other things that are in the queue. But this is an opportunity for creativity. What I also want to say is particularly during the pandemic, what might have already been plans underway for our next retreat, we're proposing to develop into a workshop format where maybe the initiatives that we talk about are the ones that are reflected in the current planning document that is the retreat. For us, what we're planning on is to resume discussions about the Dobson-Remillard Church property. We want to talk about what are our next steps to move and make forward progress on that. One of the things, interestingly, that was at the retreat had to talk about this crazy thing called COVID-19. We weren't sure where we were going to be heading with that. It has dominated life in so many ways for all of us. And that one we did obviously on a very reactive basis and continue to as we measure the impacts, economic impacts. With regard to any others, though, we want to be able to stimulate a dialogue that celebrates the potential we have to communicate, particularly in this format, to ensure that we are capturing what is important to the council and that we're transparent in the resources we'll be able to provide or possibly need to remove from our agenda in order to accomplish whatever it is that council expects us to make a priority in the coming year. Grant, I don't know if you have anything further you'd like to add.
Sure, just a couple things. Thank you, Michael. This is a topic that was raised by the council at its retreat in February, which is, would it make sense for us to start looking at developing an annual legislative agenda so that there are, if there are key topics of involving the state of Washington, state level decisions that the legislature may be dealing with, that we get it on a list and we have it as a set of positions that the council has reviewed and approved. And so whatever council members are that are going to be speaking with legislators, that's the sheet music that the city council will be singing from, if you will. This is going to be a very unusual session, as some of you may know. The legislature is going to meet in a virtual capacity, so they're not going to be all tunneling down to Olympia, if at least not very often. And how that looks and what the rules are going to be is still under development in the two houses of the legislature. It's going to be interesting. Things could move very quickly, and they're still trying to figure out how they'll get bills and then amendments up and posted so that people can have a chance to see them ahead of time. That being said, while it may not be an opportunity to be going down to meet with legislators in Olympia, that may mean that you may have more access to them because they're going to be working nearby in their legislative district. So this may be a time where we might actually be able to have the council members have more interaction, if you will, with some of the legislators. So we wanted to solicit one if there were specific topics that council would like us to be taking a look at and helping assist you in developing a position statement on. Provided in the packet were the top agenda items and an explanation of them, of the top, I think, four or five priorities of the Association of Washington Cities. So that was why we included those items, to provide some food for thought for you. But clearly there's other topics that will be coming up. There's discussion of a potential statewide transportation package. And if there are specific projects that impact Mill Creek and the adjoining parts of Snohomish County, that might be something that might want to be included in a legislative list. Same thing with economic recovery. There could be additional appropriations, both either to the local governments themselves or to the state, and for which Mill Creek will want to see if there is an availability of having those funds channeled down to improve the business climate and assist our business people in recovering from this challenging pandemic environment.
Okay, thank you, Grant. Mayor, that's it on that topic.
So what were we looking to accomplish with that tonight? Was it more an FYI for us? Or are we gonna have a further discussion in early January on more specifics to set an agenda?
It's an FYI now, and also it's an opportunity that if council members have topics they would like us to be looking into, we would love to get them now, or we can get them offline and get them ready for the next meeting. It'd be nice to be able to have enough information so that we could provide a draft agenda for you at the last meeting in December or the first meeting in January.
Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to thank City Manager and Grant on bringing this to us. This was something that I've been bringing up and discussing for about a year now, the importance of us having a legislative agenda so that when we actually get a chance to see our legislators from Olympia, that we know what we need as a city and what we need to be pushing for from them in a unified voice. So I want to thank them for listening to me throughout the year and remembering that and bringing it to the forefront for us to start to have a dialogue, so that when we do run into our representatives, whether or not on a Zoom meeting or however that may play out, we are able to know what this council as a full body is interested in and wants us to push for. And I know for myself, transportation and economic recovery is going to be at the top of my list of things that I would like for them to be working for Mill Creek. So thank you for listening to me and making sure this got brought before us tonight.
Do we have what we need for tonight on this then?
Yes, Mayor, thank you.
Okay. Next is our study session. We're bringing back up, before I turn it over to the city manager, the governance manual. So recall that coming out of late August, we collectively decided it was worth time to pick back up the governance manual and give it a fresh look and an update. And then Director Todd made his decision that surprised us. And when we had two vacancies to fill, we decided to put that off till after we got through the budget and got the two positions filled. So now that we have Councilmember Briles and Councilmember Morgan, and now that we've adopted a budget, it's back. So we are now going to start taking it up. So tonight is a kickoff to get that started and give some direction to Michael and his staff on how we want to move forward. So with that, I'll turn it over to Michael.
Thank you, Mayor. We sent out a recent, very recent email, all the links that comprise the governance manual. I don't pretend to have power read through all of it thoroughly in any manner that would make me an expert on the topic. Grant and I spoke before the council meeting about how we might entertain this conversation this evening. And I really just think that the best way is to start generally. And if there are specific questions or specific areas that we can support the council in their work relating to the governance manual, and Grant and I can respond to that, but we can also share some insights depending on what the topic is. Grant, I know that you've pulled it up, and with your background and expertise in this area, you may see some better practices from other areas, other places in which you or your firm give legal advice to municipalities. But I think the sky's the limit in terms of what we can do to bring this as one of the best documents. I would also note that the MRSC website continues to be my go-to place for any other thoughts I have regarding innovation in the city or in the state of Washington. There may be some opportunities ripe for us to check in on innovation as part of our ongoing work here in the city. So that just as the auditor comes to a meeting and talks about where we've been the past year, maybe we make it a specific figure as part of how we manage a city going forward, that we ask ourselves, have we kicked the tires on innovation and other initiatives that are coming out of the better practices in many municipalities. Finally, we continue to expect that there will be reverberations from the pandemic long after folks, long after, I won't call it a cure, but long after we get our hands around it as a nation and as a world and global and local economies and everything in between. So as we continue to look for ways to save money and ways in which we may need to make cuts, this opportunity of how the city can integrate innovation into its better practices is going to be very important. So while it seems to be a stuffy document, the governance manual, it could really help us direct how we bring our energies into focus in the coming new year. Grant, do you have anything further you could add, please?
Sure, thank you. So, in addition to just confirming that we want to move forward at this time, what we would like to do is start sort of segmenting the topics of the manual and presenting them in smaller chunks, because it's a big document and it covers a lot of different things. There are some things that we've highlighted and identified as ones where we may be a little out of date in terms of how we address things. One of them is the Public Records Act and public records themselves. One of the things, I know this is an agenda item that the city manager has and plans to bring forward early in the year, and it would dovetail into this, which is making some revisions to our public records ordinance so that we address, you know, how records are handled, how, you know, what the charging process will be, what instances might we charge for documents and for records, and also make sure that the council is fully versed in the requirements of the Public Records Act, the Open Public Meetings Act, and how those work in the day-to-day work of the council. Another area where we would like to get some feedback from the council is whether there's interest in looking at how we handle things like conflicts of interest and ethics. Some cities have adopted ethics codes. We don't really have one in the current governance manual. There are a variety of different models for handling both ethics issues or complaints involving council members. And this is really talking about how you govern yourselves and how you want and by what standards you want to be judged. So it's an area we've added some links and provided some resources to talk about or show what other cities do. We can certainly introduce those and show them in a study session, and the council can decide if it's a topic or a series of issues that they want to move forward with, and then we can work on what's the right model, what might we want to do there, and then zero in on specific language. Another area we've talked about is sort of procedural operations. One of the things you might notice tonight is we have a number of resolutions approving either providing authority for contracts or approving certain interlocal agreements. One of the things that the council has said in the past is the council wants to have the prerogative to review interlocal agreements before they're adopted. And we want to make sure that that's still the governing principle that you have. And if it is, we would use the resolution process to make sure that that's included. So these are the kinds of what we want to come back to you is with a work plan that will break down, you know, segments of work in the governance manual so that we're not trying to tackle it all at once, but segment it in a logical way. And this is a body of work that may take, you know, several months to do, but I think if we break it down into a series of study sessions, that way we can have good conversations on a group of related issues and then make some decisions and move on to the next group of issues. That's how we propose to set this up and tackle this body of work.
I, for one, am all for it. Is it unreasonable to have that little more detailed work plan by maybe mid-January, the second meeting of January?
That is not unreasonable at all. I think that's a great goal. We can certainly do that.
Any comments, questions, Mayor Pro Tem?
Do we need to have any discussion on tonight on how we would like that to look? I know in the past we discussed whether or not to have a committee of three council members to help do some of the work. That was one of the discussions that we had in the past. Do you need any of that information from us this evening, or?
I think that, go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I was gonna suggest, let's get the work plan and see what they propose, and then we can determine from there if we need to have any special subcommittees or anything to deal with specific issues. Let's see what the work plan is first.
Can I also suggest that we make sure, I'm not sure if this is part of the work plan, that we're making sure we include a look at virtual meetings, because that's something that obviously is going to be needed in our governance manual, because we weren't even thinking about virtual meetings when this was written. So I think we definitely need to make sure there's a technology update and virtual meetings are included in a study session for us to come up with some rules.
Sure. If there's any other subjects in particular that council members believe should be updated, we would love to get the feedback on that as well.
Councilmember Cavalieri.
Thanks, Mayor. I like the idea of similarly to what we do in the sheriff's office is kind of, if our committee is given like one of the articles, they break it down, the committee gets it, but they work on one at a time. And then the group gets it, the group puts their input, gives it back, then boom, move on to the next one, move on to the next one. And then when they're all complete, then they all review it again and go forth. So I think, you know, segmenting it out is probably the best way to go rather than trying to take it in one big bite.
Would you like us to email you, or did you want us to talk about areas that we'd like to see in the governance manual, new areas?
Happy to take notes right now, council member, if you'd like to share it now, or you can email it, whatever you'd like.
Unless your list is more than three.
How about one? I'll just do one. We have new council members, and I still consider myself a new council member after a few years. One area that I'm still confused on, and I think it was partly because there was different interpretations of what right looked like, but it's the communication and transparency of information. When do we talk about things in a council meeting, and what do we talk about? And if council members do have topics they wish to bring up, I've heard things like we should send an email to so-and-so. I've heard you just bring them up during your council report. I think it'd be good to understand how what right looks like and how we can be comfortable, and you know, things like if we have a particular sensitive topic, can we call a executive session? I mean, these are all kinds of questions that how do we communicate, and what does right look like as a council member? What should we not talk about? What can we talk about? And how can we be actively engaged in what's important to each one of us? When can we be actively engaged? When can we bring it up? I'm not sure if I'm explaining it correctly, but I think you get the gist of it. I don't want to screw it up by saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, the wrong way, by using the wrong words. But I would like to feel that there's a path there of communication.
I've got it. Thank you, Councilmember Steckler.
Councilmember Morgan.
That was one thing.
Good job with the one thing. To piggyback off of what John's saying, yeah, to have an established process or processes set up for these various agenda items to be brought up or thoughts, so everybody can be on the same page and we all know exactly when and where and how.
We can memorialize in the governance manual the new proposed initiatives. item. That's what that in part was intended to deal with. Anyone else have any further comments, questions? And John, if you do have more than one item that you want to raise, I encourage you to send it in by email to the city manager.
I will do that. If I have more than one, I will put it in writing to email to Grant.
Thank you.
And Michael.
Okay, and need anything else on this? Okay, before we move to the consent agenda, we need some direction from our city attorney, since our audit committee may not have been able to review the vouchers due to COVID-19 restrictions. So I'm not sure the audit committee wasn't able to take a look at these, and so I don't know if we need to figure out a way to get them reviewed and do a special meeting, have this the topic for the 22nd, or I'm not sure how we should proceed.
So we certainly could do it as a special meeting. It would be, I presume, a fairly short one. Alternatively, the only problem is whether there's timing issues on, you know, getting, you want to approve payroll and salaries and things like that. Timing is pretty essential. So,
that's the unique thing about it. My understanding of these is checks have already been sent. Payments have been sent. Is that correct, City Manager? The unique thing about our voucher review process, it's ex post facto.
You could move in the meeting to approve the vouchers. I mean, they've all been published. They've all been out. Council members may have reviewed it. If you are all comfortable doing that tonight, you could. If not, you could have a special meeting to simply approve the vouchers.
If Councilmember Bryles, did you have an opportunity to review them, at least online?
Yes, I was able to review them online.
You were? Oh, I didn't know they were available online.
Not the copies of the checks, but the summary of the payments was all available online.
Right, that part is in the agenda to this, in the full packet.
Starting around page 200.
If you click on the link of the check vouchers, there's the summary of the payments that shows the vendor, the amount, the invoice number, the date it was paid, the check number, that sort of thing. So what we don't get electronically is a copy of the check stub and the invoice that payment was made for.
I apologize. I was under the impression that we had to go down to City Hall and sign the voucher package with their signature.
That is correct.
They do need to be signed at some point once they're approved. Yes. Once.
Okay.
So you may have reviewed them, but we don't necessarily have to have your signature that night. But
So, Grant, we had an exposure at the city hall, and I chose not to go down today.
Yeah, understand.
And I'm happy to go down if that's okay. I just didn't want to violate or, you know, push past if I wasn't supposed to be there. I was looking more for guidance. I'll wrap myself in cellophane and go down there and sign these things. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, and
Speckler, I can make arrangements with you offline to physically provide you with the documents for your signature. And I appreciate you abstaining from coming to City Hall at the moment. That's greatly appreciated.
I think former council member Todd might have some comments.
So as the historian here, I recall this discussion over the years. Remember, we used to have a special meeting in August, one time in August, to approve vouchers.
Yep.
And then at some point, our city attorney opined that we didn't even have to do that. I would suggest that maybe putting it off until the next meeting on the 22nd is probably still in compliance with state law, but I'm not an attorney. But it seems like in the past, it was not wasn't critical to do them every 2 weeks. It was more critical to do them somewhat contemporaneously. And so maybe this could be put off, but I'm not sure. That's what I remember. Thanks.
Here's what I would say with regard to the 22nd. It's going to be a part of my report. We presently don't have any item on the agenda, and so there may not be a council meeting. This might be the reason to meet if we're not able to fashion a remedy here tonight.
Great.
Councilmember Cavallari.
Thanks, Mayor. So I haven't gone down to City Hall and reviewed checks either, but I am comfortable in what I've reviewed online and did not see anything out of the ordinary. The council role is just the legislative piece of this. So I'd be happy to support Councilmember Bryles if he wanted to make a motion, and council can vote, and just the subsequent piece of signing it is not as big a deal. That's happened plenty of times before.
I'm comfortable with that. If others are, I guess the question for Grant is, do we reflect that there was no audit committee to actually view the vouchers, or do we?
We can state that the individual council members reviewed the packet of materials that were available online and that is support for it. They haven't, you know, and I think that's, I do believe that's sufficient to meet the statutory requirements. Obviously, if Councilmember Morgan Councilmember Bryles had reviewed it, and Councilmember Cavallari, and again, this is information that is available to the council. And if you typically rely on your colleagues anyway, that's what you'd be doing in this motion. If you've had an opportunity to review them, and as a matter of course, review the material that's included in the packet, then you've reviewed everything, you know, you've reviewed the vast majority of the material then.
Would it be proper if I read the two consent agenda items and reflect that there was no audit committee, so they're read into the record, and then see if there's a motion to approve them as presented?
You can report and that council members have reviewed the materials that were in the packet.
Okay. So with that background, we have on the consent agenda, before my screen phases out, item L, approval of checks number 62727 through number 62822, and ACH wire transfers in the amount of $873,979.48. And item M, payroll and benefit ACH payments in the amount of $187,401.30. The backup materials, the summary of those payments, were all set forth in the council materials for this meeting. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? Consent agenda is approved. Thank you for your help on that, Grant. Reports. I think the only thing the only thing I have is the SCT meeting was last week. The two topics of discussion were the growth monitoring report that the county has issued and the STT update, S Sound Transit update. On the growth monitoring report, the thing to note is that the growth is actually outpacing the projections for 2020 by about 3%. So that will have some interesting implications as we get to our land use planning and the population projections come out next year or early in 2022. And then the ST Sound Transit update is due to COVID, they're projecting over the next 20 years of about a $6 billion hole in their finances for completing the light rail. So they're in the process of what they call realignment. What that means and what its implications are, I don't know in the immediate. I mean, it's still going to get up to Linwood, I believe, on track. I think the bigger implication for us is what impact it has on extending the light rail beyond Linwood up to Everett and the time frame for that occurring. So those are the two main topics that were brought up. Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you. You said 6D or 6 billion?
That was with a B.
A billion. Ooh. And that's not including the $30 car tabs that was kicked out, right? So that's just based on COVID slowdown?
It's my understanding it's based on COVID slowdown. I'm not sure they ever adjusted their financial projections based on the initiative because I think they assumed it was going to get tossed out as it was.
Right.
But I don't know. The discussion was solely in terms of the adjustments due to COVID-19 and its long-term impacts on the financing.
Lovely. So,
it's a big number, but I forget what the total number of the total project is 50 or 60 or 70 billion bucks. So it's a big number.
It means that my Lexus is going to cost a lot more in the coming years.
Sounds like it.
Yes.
It will. Mayor, while you have the floor, mind if I ask you a quick question on the sub area?
Yeah.
I saw that there was an open spot or vacancy. What specifically is that, though? Is that a citizen or?
No, we need Mike. I need Michael to help me out there. That was due to Council Member Bryles was on the sub area study group as a representative of one of the boards. And when he joined the council, he had to resign his position on the board. So that opens up. So we have, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, we have two positions to fill.
That's correct. Two.
Potentially, because Mike Todd left to become director. So we have a council, we were assigned three seats from the council on that commission. So we have a council seat to fill, and then we have, someone from the Arts and Beautification Board, I believe. Did I summarize that correctly?
Yes.
So the current two representatives on the committee from the council are the Mayor Pro Tem and myself.
Thank you.
So if someone else is interested in filling that third position, I mean, Council Member Bryles could have, with the support of the council, switch hats and put on the council hat since he had been on the committee and take off his Arts and Beautification Board's hat, and then we can appoint. We don't have to do this tonight. I'm not sure if we have the role of the Arts and Beautification Board to know another representative that we might appoint or who might be interested. So I don't know if we want to tackle that one item tonight of filling the other council position, since there is a meeting tomorrow night. Councilman Bryles, are you still interested?
Yes, I am still interested. And as you pointed out, I'd been on it already, so I'm up to speed on everything as it is. And how it's been going and have been getting the materials. So if I were appointed tonight, that would mean then I would be ready to go tomorrow and we would have those three council positions filled on the committee, and we would have still the Arts and Beautification Board seat to seek to fill.
So just out of curiosity, since Grant's here, if a council member that was, I know the council vacancy is filled or we're going to fill it, if a council member who was also on the A and B board wanted to sit in the A and B board slot, would that be appropriate or no?
That's why he had to resign from the A&B board, because once he's on the council, he can't be on a board or commission.
Correct. Gotcha. Okay. Because right. I know the reason I mentioned that is I know John was interested.
I was, yes. I still am, but yeah. I do see the value, though, Councilmember Bryles having been on it, I wanted to be on. I was the fourth of the three that wanted to be on it. But I do see the value of Councilmember Bryles having been on the committee for this period of time. I do respect that, having that information.
Yeah. Well, if that's your representation of your, you want Benjamin on there, I would, if we can do it as a motion to appoint Benjamin, I would.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? We'll get you a new hat, Councilmember Bryles, to wear tomorrow night.
There is an arts and beautification meeting tomorrow at 4 o'clock. I'll be attending. I could make an announcement there about the open position and see if we can expedite that.
Okay. Okay. I was just trying to think, I'm thinking out loud, since that spot is, do we need to bless the person from the A and B board that sits in that spot as a council?
The council appointed all the positions originally, yes. So and I would assume yes.
I know we appointed all the positions, but that seat is assigned to the A and B board. So if there is only one person from the A and B board that was interested in sitting on the commission, would we still as a council need to bless that? I'm just trying to think, if there's only one person from the A and B board and they express tomorrow night that they're interested and willing to serve on the study group, since we don't meet again until possibly the 22nd, or if not the 22nd, the beginning of the year.
So you're just saying that what if only one person wants to apply, then just bless? Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Head nods.
I also know that Kristen Rasmussen's on this call, and she's the one handing up the agenda, so she can make sure to add that to the agenda for tomorrow night. It will get done.
Okay.
Kristen's
thank you. Thank you very much. Councilmember Bond isn't here. Going down, Councilmember Steckler, any report tonight?
I just, kind of a fun report. I'm going to have, this could be fun. Last council meeting, Councilmember Bryles talked about the CARES money and how that was given, made available to the Kiwanis of Mill Creek to put on the Zoom Santas. And I just wanted to let everybody know it was a fun thing. We launched the Zoom Santas, launched yesterday. And the response was overwhelming. It was from the children who attended, and these were kids, some of them from our Section 8 housing, one of the young attendees had a very horrible life. Her father had left, her mother, a single mother trying to keep it going with her daughter home from school. Mother's got to go to work. And it was just a very sweet upside to their home. We had one family where the mother had COVID and three of four children had COVID. So it's really pretty nice to see that they got a chance to get out and experience Santa Claus amidst all this nightmare of this pandemic. And all that was possible because of the CARES money that the city of Mill Creek made available to the nonprofit organizations, the public service organizations, of which Kiwanis was one. And I say this finally because to everyone who's on this call, first of all, thank you to the media on the call who've already supported us, but to every person on this call, if you know a little child, a niece, a nephew, a daughter, a son, a grandchild, I encourage you to sign them up. This is the most wonderful experience for a little child to go visit Santa Claus at the North Pole during this terrible pandemic, have a great conversation with Santa Claus, get a nice free book. It's silly, but it's great. And we need a little fun in our lives after what we've been through for the last 11 months. So a little plug for it. All you got to do is you go to www.zoomsantamillcreek.com. .org, ZoomSantaMillCreek.org. Sign up that little kid, fill out a form to tell Santa all about them, and they are going to have a wonderful experience thanks to the city and thanks to the CARES money. So this would not have been possible had the city of Mill Creek and the great team with Michael and Jeff and Jody and all the rest of them that put that together. Thank you all to all of you who made that happen. Thank you very much for it was a great thing to watch. And we've got weeks of this to go. So let's have some fun for at least a couple weeks. Then we can go back to being unhappy again. You know?
Wish it was weeks. Councilmember Cavalieri.
No report, Mayor.
Mayor Pro Tem.
Everyone.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to, well, first I'm going to welcome Chief Young. Welcome. I look forward to being able to meet you in person at some point and hopefully sit down and have a conversation. So welcome to the team. And also thank you for former Acting Chief Phillips for all the hard work that he's been doing. He's been doing a great job in the interim, and we really appreciate you. So I'm going to bounce off of what Councilmember Seckler was discussing. And I think Kristen Rasmussen's on the phone. I've been discussing with her today. So I might let her have a little more discussion of this, that we have a plan with COVID, how we're going to light the tree is kind of up in limbo a little bit. So I kind of had a few conversations today, and we were thinking that maybe we could do a Zoom tree lighting. So I'm going to let Kristen thank her for coming up with this a little bit with me today, and let her take the reins on discussing that with everyone and get your feedback on it. Now that I put her on the spot.
Kristen, if you're able to join, I know that since speaking with Mayor Pro Tem Vignell today, basically saying we've got to come up with something. I think we have a plan for Santa Claus to make a virtual appearance. And Kristen, you put together a script in rocket speed that would involve the mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, our Santa Claus. If you would just give us a brief highlight of it, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, sure. Yes. Good evening. Sorry. Just doing things around the house while listening. I think it's a great idea. We kind of talked about modifying our original plan of having a pre-recorded ceremony with some editing with the mayor, and council members Steckler offered to be Santa.
I know Santa. We're friends.
We're your friends.
We trade hot chocolate recipes. I know how to get a hold of him.
You have connections. So
I hope no kids watched the recording of this meeting. They just spoiled it for him.
I just want to make sure.
Ruined it. Thank you. So he has connections to the North Pole. So we kind of will be along the same lines, but a little modified. So a staff member, either we are thinking of maybe Matthew Combs or Naomi or St. Andrew, I could come, or you know, who's able to come pre-record the tree without the lights for a few seconds, and then turn the lights on for a few seconds. So we have that footage that can be recorded, and then that file can be uploaded to Zoom, is what Naomi was saying. So she has some awesome Zoom skills I didn't know that you could do with. And so the idea of the script was to introduce the mayor. The mayor would say some words, welcome the community, and show the footage of the tree not lit. And then he would kind of kick off to Santa in the North Pole in his humble abode. And Santa would say a few words, address more of the kids in the holiday season, kind of flash back to the tree not lit. And then he would do the countdown, and then it would flash to the tree lit. And then we would just thank people for joining us. So something kind of simple, but we could still do it virtually and being mindful of the work from home and keeping everyone safe.
So you don't need Santa to get the sleigh and the reindeer and come down here. We could just zoom to him up at the North Pole.
Yeah, kind of like, okay, what you're doing. Great. I saw how you have the setup for the Qantas, and it's beautiful. It's awesome. And he does. Santa does. So Santa, is a rock star and has a great setup. And I thought that was really nice. And we could show his workshop and where he's from instead of being in front of the Christmas tree or our tree. So he would just zoom in from the North Pole.
So you know, just out of curiosity, are we not having the public come to the tree lighting ceremony?
Correct.
That's correct.
Yeah, can't.
So if they stayed a bit apart, I mean, and they're outside, aren't we going a bit carried away?
Oh, so sorry. So this would all just be hosted on Zoom. So we could promote it online and then stream it on our YouTube and link that to our social media channel. Or invite people. So we hadn't worked out those details. So either we can invite people to join the Zoom meeting. Yeah. So then they can see it live and then record it and put it on social media. But the idea was to do it virtually so that no one was coming to the event.
If I might
in person
to Councilman Cavallari's question, because of the an occurrence of one of our staff members testing positive for COVID-19, we've been under quarantine, and I'm really working hard to ensure that the logistics would be required for us to host an event that would invite the public to it would necessitate us not following current CDC guidelines. So I'm really attempting to enable us to have a holiday that is both safe and enables us to comply with the myriad of regulations whenever someone tests positive. So we're doing our best here. We'd love to have a crowd, even socially distanced. The problem is we won't have staff that have put in the time and have worked together to assemble what would be required for the event.
I thank you for that, City Manager, and I understand. I just worry, and I'm quite honestly, I'm bothered how easily we diminish these holidays. It's not that I don't appreciate staff members putting the effort forward and I get all that. There's an overboard to these things sometimes, and I think the public is experiencing it, and Christmas is one of those. You know, maybe you make the argument for Thanksgiving, and Christmas is just, to me, is a threshold that you shouldn't cross. But thank you for the answers.
Mayor Pro Tem, anything further on your report?
No, I'm good. Thank you, Mayor.
Councilmember Bryles, any report tonight?
Yes. actually, speaking specifically about Zoom Santa event, my children were two of those that got to speak with Santa via Zoom just last night. They had a fantastic time. Very much magical. I would very much recommend it to anyone. They are eagerly awaiting their book showing up. Santa told them that Squeaky was going to bring it. Squeaky is the name of our cat. He had mentioned that also that was one of his elves. I think he meant that his elf Squeaky was going to deliver it. But my children took that to mean that our cat would be delivering this book to the house. And so this morning, in fact, they checked to see if the cat had delivered it. And so we'll have to keep an eye out for that in any way, shape or form. And if make sure that Santa magic comes through, as it were, in the moment. So I highly recommend it. Again, zoomsantamillcreek.org. It's a great time. And thanks to the CARES Act funding, that is a free service which is able to be provided. And I will note that donations are accepted for the Kiwanis of Mill Creek to continue doing good work in the future. So, my wife was also there and said it was amazing, was what she just kept mouthing at me. So, I would have to say, you know, if you've got little ones, it's worth the 15 minutes of Zoom Santa time and about 5 minutes sign up time to help out Santa to know your kids and provide a great festive event for them. at this time when we sometimes get a real challenge in getting everything we want of the season. Thank you.
Councilmember Morgan, any report tonight?
Nothing to report, but I am definitely going to check out Santa for my son because that sounds like a blast.
City Manager, time for your reports and staff reports.
Thank you, Mayor, and members of council. Before I speak about the emergency proclamation extension, I wanted to introduce the City of Mill Creek's new finance director. The City of Mill Creek has strengthened its management team with the appointment of Laurel Gimzo as our new finance director. Ms. Gimzo comes from the City of Ottawa, Kansas, where she served as the assistant finance director and treasurer and as the assistant city clerk, senior financial analyst. She's held these two positions at different times, but has worked with the city since 2016. During her time as most recently serving as the assistant finance director, Ms. Gimzo is responsible for developing city budgets, overseeing annual audits and staff development, and led her department for 2 years without a finance director, managing budget challenges, community projects, and grant-funded projects effectively. We will be putting final touches on a press release, which I acknowledge was delayed because of the other crisis we had to manage at City Hall. I'll be sharing that advance copy with council this evening, and we'll be releasing it to the community tomorrow. For those of the press that are in attendance, you don't have to transcribe what I just said. I'm reading it from our draft of the press release. So Laurel Gimzo, I just want to thank you for having faith and confidence in our emerging leadership here at City Hall. And we welcome you to the state of Washington and to the city of Mill Creek. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks. I look forward to working with all of you.
I'm sure no one said you ain't in Kansas anymore yet.
No one has yet, actually.
Welcome.
So my line.
Okay, with that, there's no other comments. I don't want to move too fast, but I'll move along. Seeing no others, with the emergency proclamation extension, first of all, I need to own that I needed to put this on at the beginning of December, and it was an oversight on my part, and I apologize, but I would request a motion to approve the extension of the city manager's proclamation of emergency to January 5th, 2021, consistent with the governor's action to extend the statewide emergency declaration. And I would need for this to be retroactive to December 1st, 2020.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? Motion passes 6-0.
Presently, there is no pressing matter that would require us to have an agenda for December 22nd's council meeting. We have plenty that we could add to it, but we just wanted to see if it was the pleasure of council that matter be that meeting be canceled.
Is there any council member?
It's the pleasure of this council member to cancel it.
Well, it'll give staff a well-deserved break as well. We've had a lot to do in the last few months, so.
That's really true. This is a break for the staff, too. They don't have to prep for this and everything. That's a good point.
So I think you have your direction that you can proceed with. I don't think you need a formal motion to cancel, or do we?
I think we do.
We do need a motion because it is it's already scheduled. It's a regularly scheduled meeting. So
it's scheduled, so you need a motion.
Yeah, would someone like to make a motion to cancel the December 22nd, 2020 regular meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Mayor Pro Tem got that one. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? I'm sure everyone's disappointed we've canceled the December 22nd meeting.
Very sad.
Thank you. A few other quick items. As I received a certified letter from the Snohomish Regional Fire and Rescue District formerly known as Fire District 7. There's also at City Hall envelopes for Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, and all of Council, basically formalizing what we've already talked about. But I do want to state that in the letter is contained a formal notice of termination of the agreement. They identify it as a necessary procedural prerequisite for preserving all of their options under the agreement. We have met with this group now a couple of times, which also included the author of the letter that you'll receive a copy of, Commission Chair Roy Waugh. They were good introductory meetings. I was joined on my team by Mr. Jeff Ballantyne and Director Mike Todd. We are conducting our diligence, exploring multiple options, as well as entertaining a proposal from our current provider with regard to what is their best offer. We're probing a lot as it relates to a number of details. We are hopeful that we will continue to make progress, but we are also doing our diligence to be able to develop other options as well. So I wanted you to know that the correspondence is here. Again, because of the quarantine, I'm happy to scan my correspondence and forward to each of you a copy of it. And then you'll have the hard copy of it available here. I won't open up your envelopes, but it'll be in the mailbox for whenever you're able to get up to City Hall. If there's nothing on that, I'm gonna move on very quickly an update with regard to our interactions with the Silver Lake Water District. I had the chance to tour the Thomas Lake Sewer Lift Station at the end of 138th Street with Director Todd yesterday. We are working on an MOU that we're gonna be bringing the council that in essence will enable Silver Lake Water District to extend their parking area in a manner that will enable them to do other retrofits and improvements to that lift station and also to be able to service it with heavy equipment in the future. So I want to foreshadow that for you. The other topic that obviously comes up for me when we mention Silver Lake Water District is the status of our MOU relating to the siting of our future public works workshop. On their property that they presently own. When the pandemic hit, up until that point, our former director was working on a new memorandum of understanding. We had worked to split the costs with the Silver Lake Water District to obtain an appraisal, a reappraisal of the property, which we did. And then everything slowed down. And speaking with the director of Silver Lake a couple of months ago, he indicated because of COVID, his teams had spread out their operations to maintain social distancing, and that they had kind of reoccupied the property that they were looking to sell to us. We're now hearing a number of rumors, both in terms of whether the deal is potentially off the table, as to no, we're still interested. It's my intention to engage a director hopefully tomorrow to ferret out one way or the other what the possibility is. But in the meantime, because of just the crushing burden of catch-up that Director Todd is under, we want you to know that this is a priority for us, but we simply have not done our diligence according to new standards in the Public Works Department. So we were going to bring updates to Council as they become available to us. But wanted to let you know about these two items that were in the queue for our interactions and possible agreements with Silver Lake Water District. Director Todd, I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that.
Yeah, thanks. I think you said that pretty well. So that, let me show this picture real quick of what we're talking about with the lift station. So this is, are you seeing my screen right there? So to orient you, this is the farm development. This is the mitigation site that the farm is working on. And because that has now become a mitigation site, there will never be any development of this little highland property here that could have had a few houses on it. So this is 138th Street that the city manager referred to, and the lift station is right there. This is our right of way, and what they're looking to do is to get, so it gets to go forward. Right now their lift station is at this location. It's multiple years old, it's time to make it larger. This is the existing one. They're gonna build a bigger lift station. Since people won't promise to quit flushing for 6 months, they need to keep them both in operation. So they've asked us if it's okay if they would pave this area that's in our right of way so that they could access this site for their construction project. So it is not an easement, it is not a gift, it is not a selling of the land. It's mostly allowing them, mainly allowing them to pave this. And so Grant will be working with them on developing what kind of agreement that is. But basically this right of way right now currently goes to the end of this. This is the property that now is the mitigation site for the farm. So it would be allowing them to pave a portion of that right of way. It's public property, but we have the responsibility to maintain maintain jurisdiction over that. That's mostly it. So it's a kind of deal. It's not going to cost us money, not going to cost them money, but we're working on working this out. And as the city manager said, wanted to keep you apprised of this being a potential thing we're working on, making an agreement with them to figure out how to move forward. They are anxious to get their engineering started so that they can get this out to bid in the spring, do this project next summer when it's dry. And so they're anxious to move forward. That's why we're working right now on moving this forward with them. Any questions?
Thank you for that update.
That concludes my report, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. With that, we'll move to the last audience communication opportunity for 2020. Barbara, name and address, 3 minutes, please.
Barb Heidel, 1401 144th Place Southeast, Mill Creek. I have just a couple things I'd like to say. First off, since I take notes during the meeting, I appreciate the extreme care that the city is trying to take to keep everyone as safe as possible during this difficult COVID time. Truly appreciate, because it's better to be safe than sorry. So thank you. Second, I know it's the purview of the city manager to hire people, especially for this new position of deputy city manager / internal auditor. As a Mill Creek resident, one who is very concerned with how our government's going on and trying to be somewhat involved, I would like to make sure that there's transparency is of utmost importance in addition to hiring a highly qualified person. I don't want to overstep my bounds, but I do wish to mention one thing. I do hope the city manager will seriously consider Jeff Ballantyne for this position. He has been an incredible asset for the city, is very well versed in finance, and is extremely knowledgeable in how our city is functioning and our business. So I just hope you'll consider, because I know he'd be interested. Thirdly, since this is the last meeting, I do wish to say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever it is you celebrate. I wish to have every city employee, including our new one, Laurel, a very happy break, and stay healthy, stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Mr. Nelson, name and address, 3 minutes.
Mute my audio here. Here we go. Bill Nelson, 14925 29th Drive Southeast, Mill Creek, Washington. It's already been mentioned to me that Jeff Ballantyne might be a candidate for this new position. I won't say where that came from, but I thought Barbara's comment was rather amusing based on what I've already heard. Secondly, very disturbed that Sound Transit is making noise about being $6 billion short. To me, not meeting the promised 2036 extension to Everett is unacceptable, nor is Sound Transit 4 asking for more money. I think they could save $1 billion by eliminating the Boeing detour and let community transit run shuttle buses between the Boeing plant and light rail. An extension of the light rail to 2046 would probably outlast me, although I do plan to be around by 2036 still, which would make me rather elderly, but much more than I am now. But it genetically, it is entirely possible, since my great-grandfather lived to be 99 and 3 months. But it's really disturbing that Sound Transit is making noise about being $6 billion short. I know the economic conditions, we're all aware of those, but they made a promise. I think they need to live to that, and Sound Transit 4 is not an option, at least in my opinion, and that would be one I would be willing to spend money on campaigning against. So that's all I've got, guys. We'll see you in January, I guess. Goodbye.
Will my grandmother live to be 106, so I have a fighting chance to see Sound Transit complete the line?
In 46, huh?
No, 106. Yeah, anyway. Anyone else want to speak to the council tonight? Well, as this is our last meeting of the year, to say it's been a challenging and interesting year would be an understatement. I'm just looking at my screen and the change we've undergone. We've got a new city clerk, a new mayor, a new city attorney, a new council member, a new police chief, another new council member, a new mayor pro tem, a new finance director, a new director of public works, and I think there's one new reporter on the screen. But notwithstanding those challenges, we got quite a bit accomplished this year and look forward to the challenges and opportunities that 2021 brings us. So hope everyone has a safe and healthy holiday. And with that, we will be adjourned for tonight and for 2020.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Have a good one.
Happy holidays to everyone. Thank you.
See you in 21.